Now, if you do have your Bible there this morning, please do turn back to James chapter 5 and verses 13 through to 20 as we look at this passage this morning. Now, this morning we conclude our study in the book of James that we've done throughout the lockdown period. And as we come to the end of this book together, I wonder what your overarching feeling has been as we've looked at this letter, and what you feel that you have learned from it. It's really been a book which is about integrity in the Christian life, of faith and deeds working together, of us not showing favouritism, of being careful in the words that we speak, of making sure that we store up treasures in heaven and not on earth, and making sure that we hold on to what we have here on earth lightly. We are to be a people who are patient in suffering and looking towards Christ's return. And in all this, we see that we are to be the people that God has created us to be. And I hope that as we've gone through this letter together over these past few months, that our desire is to be Christians, not just in word, but in deed and in action. To really be people who live out their faith to God's glory and praise. Now, as we come to the end of this letter this morning, the focus is upon prayer, as is often the case in the New Testament letters. And this is what the letter concludes with here. Now, of course, prayer is fundamental, isn't it, in the Christian faith. It's so fundamental that often it isn't explained. It's simply assumed. And throughout the Bible, we have examples to us of people who pray. From Moses to Elijah, to David, to Jeremiah, to Daniel, to the early church fathers, to Peter and Paul. All these people who were people of prayer. And of course, Jesus himself put prayer at the very centre of his life and ministry, spending time with his Father in heaven. Often before a critical time in the Gospels, we see Jesus going away by himself, such as before he chose the 12 disciples. We see him going away by himself early in the morning to pray to his Father in heaven. And that's why at the end of this letter, the encouragement from James is to pray. And not just to go through the motions, but really and truly to pray. And to pray with expectancy. You see, often in the Christian life, we perhaps know that we ought to pray, and perhaps we do pray, but we have no expectation, if we're honest, of ever receiving an answer. And we have no expectation of receiving an answer because our view of God is too small. We don't truly believe that God will hear our prayer, never mind answer our prayer. But what James is trying to instill in those to whom he is writing is a sense that God is true, and God is real, and God is authentic. And therefore, when we pray, we're not praying to the ceiling, we're praying to a person, our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We're praying to the one who is powerful, one who is loving and merciful, who cared so much for his creation that he sent his Son as the Saviour of the world. And so we are to come to God in prayer, in that knowledge of who God is. Now, there are a few aspects of prayer that are dealt with in our passage today. The first aspect of prayer is the prayer of help. The prayer of help. Now, I'm sure that we've all prayed a prayer of help at some point or another in our life. That time when you're stuck in a traffic jam and you need to get to a job interview and the traffic just is not moving, you pray to God for help. That time when you've received really bad news from the hospital after having a test there, you pray a prayer of help. We pray a prayer like that when we are in trouble. But quite often in our lives, when we are in trouble, we might say a quick prayer to God, but we don't really believe that He will answer. And so we throw up a prayer and then we move on. And we try to find a solution in our own strength. Or other than that, we just fall into despair and we do nothing at all. But the fact is that our first thought ought to be to pray. When we are in trouble, we pray. Because the fact is that if God is who He says He is, then of course He can help us in our time of need. He is on our side. And so I encourage you today, if you are in trouble, if you are struggling in your life, pray. Seek after God and listen for an answer. And similarly, if we're happy, if things are going really well in our lives, then it says here in this passage that we are to sing songs of praise, i.e., we're not just to thank ourselves when things are going well. And we're not just to forget about God when things are going well, as sometimes we can be prone to do. Some people really only pray when they're in trouble, when things are going badly in their life, and when things are just going smoothly, and they have no thought about God at all. So the first thing is about the prayer of help. The second prayer in this passage is the prayer for the sick. And there's a particular way of doing this that James mentions here in this passage today. If someone is ill, then they are to call the elders of the church and to anoint them with oil. Now, oil was thought to have some kind of medicinal value in the ancient world, but anointing with oil was symbolic. Setting apart someone for the Lord's special attention. And that seems to be what's happening here. In the same way as a king in Israel was anointed with oil, set apart for that role. Think, for example, of King David. Remember how Samuel went to the house of Jesse and went through all the sons. None of those sons, good-looking though they were and tall and handsome, were meant to be the king of Israel. And Samuel asked Jesse, have you got any more sons? And he sees David, who's been looking after the sheep in the field. And God says to Samuel, he is the one. What does Samuel do? He anoints David with oil. Now, anointing here in this passage is a way of assuring that the sick person is being brought before the Lord for His merciful consideration. It's setting apart that person with a view to them being physically healed. And it says in verse 15 that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Now, as we come to this verse, we might wonder why not more people are healed physically. If all it took was to call elders, to anoint with oil and to pray, then why is it our experience that though some may be healed, others are not? And I'm sure we've all had that experience where we've really prayed for someone to be healed and yet they haven't been healed. Well, the key thing here is the qualifier in verse 15, when it says that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Only those prayers accompanied by genuine faith will be effective. And only where the Lord wills that healing will the Lord inspire such faith. And that's often borne out by experience, isn't it? Sometimes we can be with people who are ill and we pray. And we perhaps know deep in our hearts that they may not be healed, certainly not in a physical sense. And of course, that's why it's so important that we make sure that we are healed in the spiritual sense first and foremost by putting our faith and trust in Jesus. But I've also known people who've not asked for prayer for healing, people who have been ill who have not asked for healing, because they are simply aware that their time has come. and they are comfortable with where they are going. As Paul says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When you are Christian, it is a gain to die, to be with the Lord forever. That is the reality. But in saying all this, we must realize that the Lord can and will heal people physically. We must be open to that and to simply seek after him in prayer and ask that his will would be done. Now, it's also interesting here in this part that James brings in the whole idea of sin here. Verse 15b says, if they have sinned, they will be forgiven, referring to the person who is ill. And he then goes on to talk in verse 16 about confessing sins to each other, that they may be healed. And in this way, we see that James here is encouraging Christians to pray in a third way, to pray for each other and to pray in confession. Now, we must realise here that illness or physical incapacity is not always the result of sin. We learn that from John chapter 9, for example, and the story of the man born blind who was healed by Jesus. It clearly wasn't related to sin in his life because he'd been blind from birth. But God does sometimes use physical problems to discipline his children. And confessing sin is part of the healing process. And this is what we see here in the latter part of the book of James. Now, I'm not advocating here that we should have confession with a confessional box, as in other traditions in the church. But what is happening here is clearly organic and relational and all about accountability. That sins are confessed because sin is at the root of our problems and we need to nip sin in the bud. And in the last two verses of the passage that we read today, we see that this is actually really, really important. That it's important to stop people wandering from the truth. Because by confessing our sins to one another, sinners can be restored and they will receive ultimate spiritual salvation. They will be brought effectively back into the fold, back into the way of the truth. Turning someone back in restoration is literally a matter of life and death, and helping someone back to the truth brings life. And so we are to pray for each other and to confess our sins to each other. There is accountability and honesty in the Christian life, and we are there to support one another. We cannot live the Christian life on our own. Now, through all that we've looked at today, if we were going to sum it all up, the best summary would probably be at the end of verse 16, where James says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer is something that is necessary and something that is powerful as the Christian, the believer in Christ, seeks after the Lord. Mary, Queen of Scots, famously said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of England. But I wonder if we have lost that in our prayer life, in our churches, in West Kilbride, at Kirkgate, in Ayrshire, in the Church of Scotland? Have we lost that? Trusting that prayer is powerful because we have a powerful God who's more than able to answer our prayers. You see, so often my prayers can be weak, lacking in faith, insipid, uninspired, not really seeking after God. Maybe you struggle with this too. But I want to finish this short passage today with verses 17 and 18, because James uses the illustration of Elijah to give encouragement in this passage. Now, of course, we all know that Elijah was a prophet of God, and he's very much a hero of the faith. And we know the story in the Old Testament when Elijah prayed it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. But after the battle with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, Elijah prayed it would rain. And maybe you know the story. 7 times he prayed. He was persistent in prayer. And on the 7th time, as he sent his servant to look in the horizon, what did he see, the servant? He saw a cloud, as small as a man's hand, appearing in the sky. God answered Elijah's prayer, and all the clouds rolled in, and then it was raining. It rained by Elijah simply praying and simply trusting in God. Now, what James points out is that Elijah was a human being, even as we are. In other words, he's no different from us. He prayed and God answered. And James is encouraging us in this passage today. If we simply pray just like Elijah, and we pray in faith to our Father in heaven, then the Lord will answer. You see, if we are a Christian, we are righteous because of what Jesus has done on the cross, and therefore we can come with confidence before a holy God. So I encourage you today, let's pray, not with tippy-tappy prayers and weak prayers and insipid prayers, but with real prayers, heartfelt prayers, seeking after the Lord, clinging to him, praying for the sick, praying for each other, confessing sins, turning sinners from error, praying in trouble, singing songs of praise in the good times. You see, I don't know about you, but that seems kind of exciting to me, and I don't want to miss out. I want to pray and to seek after this God. Prayer is not boring because we don't have a boring God. It's exciting and it's wonderful. Now, obviously, today we've come to the end of our series in the book of James. In this book, James is concerned about Christian character and what it means to be a Christian. That if we are a Christian, we're not to be half-hearted or double-minded, not saying we believe something when actually we act in a totally different way. It's a book about Christian integrity. Living out our life fully for God is what this book is all about. When God calls and you put your faith and trust in Jesus, that's not the end of the matter. The Christian life doesn't end at conversion, does it? It's just the beginning of the Christian life. An exciting, exhilarating life that will last until we get to eternity. It's life in all of its fullness. You see, why bother with riches when you can have this Christian life? Why bother with the worldly when you can have this Christian life? A life with God, living out a life to his glory and his praise. And when we do so, live out our lives that way, he will receive us into eternity and declare, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't know about you, but I want to hear those words to please my Heavenly Father and how I live out my life. What about you this day? So I encourage you, let's reflect on this book of James. Let's think through all that he says in this book about being people of integrity. And let's be the people of prayer, as we've looked at today, that God has called us to be. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for this book of James. We thank you for how practical it is, that it's about practical living in the Christian life. We thank you for the way that James encourages his readers, including ourselves, to be people of integrity, to be people of faith, but also of deed, that our faith and our actions might work together, and that we would be people of integrity. Loving Lord God, we pray that we would be people who watch what we say, watch what we do, that we would be people of prayer, who pray for those who are sick, who pray when we're in trouble, who confess our sins before you and before other Christians, who are a people who live out a full Christian life. Loving Lord God, as we come before you, we recognise that we are weak in many ways. But Lord God, we thank you that you have given us great promises in your word. And we thank you that when we hold to those promises, then we can look forward to spending an eternity with you forever and ever. Lord God, we pray that the things of the world would grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and your grace. So, Heavenly Father, speak to us through your word today, we pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.